In just a moment, you'll hear Miss Joan Fontaine starring in the NBC Star Playhouse. But first, this listening reminder. Monday night means music on NBC, and tomorrow evening you'll be pleasantly entertained by the Railroad Hour's original operetta starring Gordon McRae and Dorothy Warren Scholes. Later, the Telephone Hour will feature guest soloist Zeno Franciscatti and the music of the Bell Symphonic Orchestra. Tomorrow's Voice of Firestone broadcast brings lovely Patrice Bunsell to the guest spotlight. Monday's music is marvelous when you set your dial to NBC Radio. Be sure to listen tomorrow. And now, hear the NBC Star Playhouse on NBC. Eminent actors of our time transcribed in the NBC Star Playhouse. Here's our host, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, to introduce this week's star and play. Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. Well, here I am in New York, and there they are in Hollywood. By they, I mean our star, our play, and a Star Playhouse company of actors. The play is Biography by F.M. Behrman, and it is one of his best. Ever since the days of Clyde Fitch, the American theater has had some excellent writers of high comedy. Or parlor, drawing room, or sophisticated comedy, whatever one chooses to call it. Sidney Howard, Philip Barry, George Kelly, and Behrman have been high practitioners of this art of being intelligent, witty, and amusing. In Biography, Behrman concerns himself with a woman named Marion who has a studio apartment in New York. She is a fashionable painter of portraits and a fashionable woman herself. As Behrman describes her in his play script, she is tall, lithe, indomitably alive. She floats life like a dancer's scarf in perpetual enjoyment of its colors and contours. This sounds like a difficult casting problem, and it is. But I think we've solved it. For the actress who is going to play Marion Forth is Joan Fontaine. Of many a fine motion picture, and the winner of many Academy Awards and Critics' Prizes. Hollywood and Miss Fontaine, we are ready and listening here at NBC in New York.
Skylighted studio living room of an apartment in Manhattan's West 57th Street. The tenant of the apartment is the internationally famous portrait painter, Marion Proud. But at the moment, it is occupied only by the maid, Minnie, and an angry young man.
What time did Miss Proud go out?
About 2 o'clock.
Well, it's nearly five. Now she should be home, shouldn't she?
She said she was coming home to tea, and that is all I know.
Yeah, she invited me to tea at 4:30 sharp.
Go?
Well, where did she go to lunch?
I don't know. Any more questions?
No, no. See, there's no point in asking you questions.
Then why do you ask them?
Oh, look here.
Excuse, I answered the door.
Ah, die schöne Minnie.
Ach, mein lieber Herr Feidack. Welcome to New York. Come in, come in.
And where's our Marion? Not home yet, eh, Minnie? Where is she?
I've been asking the same question for over half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Er hat alle 5 Minuten gefragt, wo sie ist. Excuse, I go make ready the tea.
Well, young man, you have offended Minnie. I can see that.
That's just too bad.
We all tremble before Minnie. Excuse. You are a friend of Miss Proud?
Not at all.
That is a sleep. There's no cause for crime.
My presence here is a favor to her, and likely to bring her a handsome profit.
Profit? Ah, that accounts for her being late.
Oh, you despise profit, I suppose. Very commendably old world of you.
Young men, when I was your age, I too was rude and principled to make an impression. When it is no longer necessary for you to wait around for people in order to do them favors, you will mellow down, I assure you.
You think so, do you? If I'm rude now and I'm successful, I'll be murderous.
More power to you. But I've never seen it happen yet. Success is a great muffler.
Hey, don't I know you from somewhere?
I don't think so. I've only just arrived in America.
Still, I've seen you somewhere.
Maybe you have seen Miss Trout's portrait of me.
Maybe that's it.
May I ask? Certainly. My name is Freidach.
A composer?
Yes.
Oh. I thought he was dead.
You have been confused with my brother, Victor Freidach. You were right in thinking he was dead. You're the first person I have met in New York who even suspected it.
Oh, sorry.
Why?
Oh, hello there. I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Don't give it a second thought, Miss.
Oh, but I am. Spidey!
Hello, Marion.
Spidey, oh, Spidey. I've been trying everywhere to reach you. I can't believe it. Spidey, darling.
Is this how you keep a business appointment, Miss Spidey?
Oh, if I'd only know. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Kurt. Richard Kurt.
Oh, of course, Mr. Kurt. I say, sorry, Mr.
Kurt. Richard Kurt.
Oh, of course, Mr. Kurt. I say, but what about you? Oh, let me hear about you.
Well, things went from bad to worse in Vienna, as you know. About a month ago, I reached the end of my rope, hopelessly in debt, no way out. When the miracle happened. A Hollywood producer was in town and wanted to see me.
How glorious!
Wait. With a case of mistaken identity. He didn't know my brother was dead. He thought I was Victor.
And the funniest thing is, you'll be much better for them in Hollywood than he would have been. Oh, don't you see?
Ach, Marion, I've been so guilty over this thing, and now you make it all right.
Mm.
Oh, my lieber Schatz, come out there with me.
Oh, I'd love to, Fidy, but I can't.
Oh, I wish you would
come. Oh, this isn't a moment for me, Fidy. Besides, I can't afford the journey. I'm frightfully hard up at the moment.
Now, well, look here, Marion.
No, that's sweet of you, but I couldn't.
But why?
I don't know, vanity, a kind of vanity. I've always had a kind of pride in maneuvering on my own. It was all the fun for me to take money from my friends. Anyway, it's a pet fixation of mine, so, be a darling and let me indulge it, will you, Father? Besides, I have a business proposition.
Have you?
That young man who was just here. Oh, dear, do you suppose he won't come back? Now that I think of it, I was a bit short with him, wasn't I?
He will be back. They always come back for you, Marion.
Quarter of six. What can be keeping him, Minnie?
Better he stays away.
Oh, but he wanted to talk about money, and Minnie, we need money.
I don't worry.
There he is. Let him in, Minnie, and be polite.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss Stroud's apartment?
Who is calling, please?
Tell her an old friend. I want to surprise her.
I'm sorry, but I don't...
Who is this, Minnie? I just happened to... Oh.
Marion, little Marion Proud.
Do I know you?
You certainly do.
Oh, well, won't you come in? It's all right, Minnie. Please, sit down, Mr...
Marion.
Oh, I know you perfectly well. It's just that... No, don't tell me.
It is astonishing. If someone had said to me that I could walk into a room in front of Marion Froud and she not know me, I'd have told them they were crazy.
Oh, I do know you. I know you perfectly well. It's just that
you'll be awful sore at yourself, I warn you.
But I can't forgive myself now. I do know.
I don't believe it.
The American Embassy dinner in Rome on the 4th of July last year. You sat on my right.
I did not.
You sat somewhere. Where did you sit?
I wasn't there.
Well, I think it's very unkind of you to keep me in suspense like this. I can't bear it another second.
I wouldn't have believed it.
Well, give me some hint, will you?
Think of home. Think of Tennessee.
Oh.
Little Marion Froud.
No! Oh, no!
Well, it's about time.
But you were you...
And so were you.
Oh, but Bunny, you are Bunny Nolan, aren't you? But Bunny, Bunny dear, how important you become.
I haven't done badly.
Oh, no. You should have warned me. It's not fair of you, Bunny, of all people. I can scarcely believe it. You look like something monumental. A senator or something like that.
Oh, that's a good omen.
Good omen?
You're saying I look like a senator because I don't want to be premature, but in a few months I may be one.
A senator?
Washington, not Nashville.
Do you want to be a senator, or can't you help it?
What do you mean?
I'll paint you, Bunny. Toga, Ferrule, Tribune of the People.
Not a bad idea. Oh, I remember now. You were always sketching me, sketching everything. See, you've done pretty well yourself, haven't you?
Not as well as you have, Bunny. Imagine. Senator Nolan. Oh, well, well. Oh, how long is it since we've seen each other? 12 years, anyway. More than that, 15.
Just about. I haven't even begun to practice law yet.
Just kids, children. Oh, but now look at you. Oh, I can see how successful you are, Bunny. Married?
Not yet.
Oh, how did you escape? You're going to be, though.
I'm engaged.
Who's the lucky girl?
Slade Kinnicott, daughter of Orrin Kinnicott.
Orrin Kinnicott, the newspaper publisher?
Yes. He's backing me for the Senate.
Well, if he's backing you, you ought to get in. Not that you really need him. Anyway, you can be sure of the women vote.
How's that?
Oh, so handsome, so distinguished.
Oh, well.
Ah, you're fast. How charming of you. Oh, Bunny, I'm very proud of you, really.
I've always been ambitious, Mary, and you know that. You shared all my early hopes and dreams.
Of course I did. I'm not a bit surprised they're going into the Senate. You may even go higher, the White House. Why not?
I never let myself think of that.
Why not? It's no more wonderful than what's already happened, is it?
Destiny.
Ah, destiny, Bunny. Exactly.
And you, my dear.
Oh, as you can see, obscure, uncertain, alone. Nowhere at all. Oh, Bunny, after you get to Washington, would you introduce me to some senators?
Well, that's premature. Naturally, if the people should favor me, I'd do what I could.
Oh, yeah, dear, you always were.
Little Marion, well, I can't believe it somehow.
What did you expect to see? A hulk, a remnant, a whited sepulcher?
Well, naturally, after what I'd heard, I...
Ah, what have you heard? Oh, do tell me, Bunny.
Well, I mean about your life.
Wait, see, Bunny.
Well, there's no use going into that. You chose your own way. Everybody has to live their own life, I guess.
I detect an overtone, faint but unmistakable, of moral censor.
No, I suppose it's impossible to live one's life in art without the... Well, without doing the things you've done.
Oh, dear me, Bunny. What shall I do? Shall I blush? Shall I hang my head in shame? I didn't know the news had got around so widely.
Well, so many of your lovers have been famous men.
Well, you were obscure. Oh, but you're famous now, aren't you? I seem to be stimulating, if nothing else.
If I'd been famous then, you probably wouldn't have walked out on me at the last minute the way you did.
Oh, dear, dear Bunny.
I wish you wouldn't call me Bunny.
Well, I always did. What is your real name?
You know perfectly well.
I swear I don't.
My name is Leander.
Bunny, really?
That is my name.
Oh, really, I'd forgotten that. Leander. Who was he? He did something in the Hellespont, didn't he? What did he do in the Hellespont?
That's beside the point.
Sorry. You say you wanted to tell me something?
Yes.
I love to be told things.
That night you left me.
We quarreled about something, didn't we?
I plunged into work. I worked fiercely to forget you. And yet...
And yet...
It left something bitter in my mind. Something...
Unresolved?
Yes. All these years, I wanted to see you, to get it off my mind.
Did you want the last word, Bunny, dear?
I wanted to see you, to stand before you, to tell myself, here she is, and what of it?
Well, can you?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good for you, Bunny. I know just how you feel. Like having a tooth out, isn't it?
You're evil, Marion. You haven't the face of evil, but you're evil.
Oh, Bunny, darling. Now, you don't mean that, surely. Oh, what's come over you? You never were like that. Or were you? Oh, you know perfectly well I'm not evil. Casual, perhaps, but not evil. Oh, good heavens, Bunny. I might as well say you're evil because you're intolerant. These are differences in temperament, that's all. Charming differences in temperament.
Sophistry.
Ah, that's
better, more friendly. Let's have a cup of tea, shall we? Will your constituents mind if you have a cup of tea with a notorious woman? We will have to know.
I'm afraid I can't, Mary. I have to be getting off.
Stay and have some tea. Minnie!
Ja, Fräulein?
Bitte, hey.
Ja, Fräulein.
There now. You see how easy it is.
Marion.
Yes, Bunny.
About that painting.
Oh, I was only joking. Don't let yourself be bullied into it.
No, I've never been done in oils. It might do for campaign purposes, and if I should be elected, it would be very helpful to you in Washington.
I might try. Yes, I'll try. I'll make you look like Warren G. Harding. Kiss those women votes. Oh, you're a darling. I just kiss you for...
What? Marion.
Oh, just a rush of feeling, dear. I'll get it, Minnie.
Oh, Marion.
Yes, Bunny?
Would you mind, in front of strangers, not to call me Bunny?
Oh, of course. What is it, Bunny?
Leander.
Leander. Coming. Leander, Hellespont. Leander, here, and...
Well, Miss Frog?
Oh, you did come back. How nice. Do come in, sir.
Kurt.
Oh.
With a K.
I'll try to remember. Oh, this is Senator Nolan, Mr. Kurt.
I am not Senator Nolan.
Oh, but you will be. Can't I even call you that between ourselves? It gives me such a quiet sense of power.
Here's the tea, Fräulein. Where shall I put it?
Right here, Minnie. Did you bring an extra cup, Mr. Kurt?
Yeah.
That'll be all, Minnie. You will have a cup, Mr. Kurt.
I am not impressed by politicians, and I did not come here to drink tea. I am here on business.
Well, you can do both. They do in England. American businessmen are so tense. Tea, Bunny?
Yes, thank you.
As I was saying, American businessmen
are... I am not tense, and I am not a businessman.
Well, whatever you are very ill-mannered.
That's true. Senator.
I am not
Nice, we agree. For a moment, I thought that we weren't going to hit it off.
Well, in my day, if a boy came in and behaved like this before a lady, he'd be horsewhipped. Why don't you have him state his proposition and get it over with?
Miss Froud, you granted me an interview at 4:30. It is now after 6. I have lost an hour in which I might have read a first-class book or made love to a girl or had an idea. An irreparable hour. Now, will you see me alone, or will you keep me here fencing with this inadequate antagonist?
You are unquestionably the most impossible young man I have ever met. Go away.
Right. So long, Senator. So long, Miss Frog.
Young man.
Well?
Mr. Nolan is an old friend of mine. I should consult him in any case about whatever business you suggest. Can't you speak in front of him?
No. I'm very sorry, but I can't.
But please, wait. 1 minute.
All right, 1 minute. 60 seconds.
After all, Bunny, I can't afford it. It may be something perhaps you'd better...
I'm not sure it's safe to leave you alone with a character like that.
Nonsense. Minnie's in a room with a bow and arrow.
Well, I have to go in any case. I have to meet Orin and Slade.
Orin and... Oh, yes, your fiancé and her father. Yes, you better rush, darling. Are you in the book? I'll telephone you.
No, you better not. I shall communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Good night, Sir Galahad.
Well, I'm afraid you didn't make a very good impression on him.
That's just too bad.
Oh, that's no way for a young man to get on in the world. He's a very important person.
That's what passes for important. Up shirt, flatulent, and pompous. You aren't taken in by him, are you?
No, as a matter of fact, he's a very nice man. Simple and kind.
Oh, I bet he isn't simple. I bet he isn't kindly. I bet he's greedy and vicious.
Oh, really?
Anyway, he's a hypocrite. When a man starts worrying out loud about unprotected women, you may know he's a hypocritical sensualist.
You're a violent young man, aren't you?
Yes. The world is full of things and people that make me angry. Why do you keep calling me youth and young man? I'm 25.
Well, you seem to have a lurid and uncorrected imagination of the adolescent.
That's where you're wrong.
Anybody who'd be so unreasonable over a nice fellow like Bunny Nolan...
You're one of those tolerant people, aren't you? See the best in people.
You say that as if tolerance were a crime.
Your kind is. It's criminal because it encourages dishonesty, incompetence, weakness, all kinds of knavery. What you call tolerance, I call sloppy laziness.
You are a fanatical young man.
Well, having said that, you think you dispose of me. Well, so be it. Now let's get down to business.
You are also a little patronizing.
Thank you. Miss Frob, I am the editor of a magazine called Every Week. You know it?
It seems I've seen it on the newsstand.
Well, I want you to write your biography to run serially in every week. Later on, of course, you can bring it out as a book.
My biography?
Yeah. The story of your life.
I know the meaning of the word.
The money's pretty good. I'm prepared to give you an advance of $2,000.
Oh, but I'm not a writer. I should know how to begin.
You were born, weren't you? Begin with that.
Oh, my friends tell me I write pleasant letters, but... Oh, look here. Why should you want the story from me? I'm not a first-rate artist, you know. Not by far. I'm just a cover.
No, it's not you. It's the celebrity you painted.
You're a brutal young man. I rather like you.
Well, you've been courageous. You've been rather forthright.
The woman who dared sort of thing. Isn't that rather old hat?
I feel there's a great story in you.
You make me sound like an institution.
Should do you a lot of good in your professional career, too. We'll run reproductions of your famous portraits.
Oh, forgive me.
What's the matter?
Oh, something I remembered. The funniest thing. Oh, is it funny how the oddest things pop into your mind?
What was it?
Something that happened years ago.
What?
I couldn't possibly tell you.
All right, in that case, it'll probably be great for the magazine. You save it.
Oh, you won't do anything lurid, will you?
Just print the story, practically as you write it.
Oh, I'm scared.
Oh, nonsense. Here's your first check. $2,000.
Oh, dear.
We'll announce it next month. First installment the following month, okay?
But I can't promise a thing like that.
Why not?
Well, it worries me too much.
Well, don't promise, then. Just get to work.
What do I do first?
If I were you, I would sit down. Right here at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a sheet of paper. Mm-hmm. And here's a pencil. And now you're all set.
But how can I go out to dinner? How can I ever do anything with a chapter to write?
After all, you don't have to think up anything. Just tell what happened to you.
Can I use names?
When they're famous, yes. The others you can fake if you want.
What's your name?
I told you. My name is Kurt.
I know, with a K, but what's your name?
Oh, Richard.
Oh. I tell you, Dickie, when I think of the funny men I've known... They're pretty nearly all brothers under the skin, Dickie.
Well, that's an angle.
Oh, Dickie, I think he'd be marvelous. And imagine, I'm going to be paid for it. Oh, Dickie, you're an angel.
Yeah, that's me, Angel Kurt. Well, so long.
But you can't leave me like this, Dickie.
Like what?
Alone with my life.
Maybe it's time you got a good, straight, clear-eyed look at it alone without anybody around to hold your hand.
I think it would worry me because... There's something about it I don't know.
What?
Vulgar. Everyone writes his autobiography. Who cares?
Well, wrong hunch. Sorry to have taken your valuable time.
What do you mean?
I was mistaken, that's all. In your desire to escape vulgarity, you'd probably be thin. You might even achieve refinement. I'm not interested.
You are insufferable.
And you're a false
alarmist. I congratulate you. You brought me to the verge of losing my temper, but I'll tell you this. My story won't be thin and episodic because my life hasn't been thin and episodic. I'm going to write the darn thing just to show you, and I'm going to start right now. Chapter one, I am born.
Good. I'll be running along.
Come in tomorrow afternoon for a cocktail.
Whose memoirs are these going to be, yours or mine?
Well, you're an editor, aren't you? Come in and edit.
All right. I'll come. But if you're not here, I'll go away and I won't wait a minute. Hello.
What an extraordinary young man. Excuse me, Marion. You want I should clear away the tea things? I am born. Thus, I am born. I meet Richard Kurtz. Well, Manny, here I have your sign. I am born. I meet Richard Kurtz. Now all I have to do is fill in between. Yeah? Fix something light, will you, Minnie? I'm not going out. You're having someone in. No, Minnie. I'm spending the evening alone with my life.
In a moment, Act Two of Biography, starring Joan Fontaine on the NBC Star Playhouse. Our program will continue after a 30-second pause for station identification. continue with Act Two of the NBC Star Playhouse production of Biography, starring Joan Fontaine. Editor of Every Week magazine, persuaded Marion Proud to write the story of her life. It is also 3 weeks since Leander Nolan, her childhood sweetheart, persuaded her to paint his portrait for his forthcoming campaign to the United States Senate. At the moment, she is enjoying a rare moment's relaxation in the company of Fibeck, her old friend from pre-war Vienna.
Well, my dear, which career do I interrupt? The writer or the artist?
I honestly don't know, Father. When I'm painting, I think of funny things to write, funny phrases. Oh, it won't be a serious biography, thank heaven, but I don't want it to be trivial either.
I think you have skipped that, Marion.
Yes, Bunny?
Tell Nolan.
Oh, Bunny, come on in, Bunny. You have to sit for me, if only for a moment. Will Friday's presence embarrass you?
As a matter of fact,
Marion... Oh, sit down like a good fellow. Go on, sit down. The light's getting bad.
Oh, very well.
Go on talking while I squeeze my paint. Friday, guess who telephoned me today? Haven't seen him for years. Ask me the devil.
Could be any one of the thousands of your friends.
Warwick Wilson, the movie star. I think he wants to mention in my biography. Poor old Timothy.
Did you say your biography?
Why, yes, Bunny.
Then this is all true.
What, dear?
This, in this magazine.
No, don't get up, Bunny. I'll respond. Oh, there, lots of place. Friday, do you see?
Glamorous artist to reveal secrets of royalty in every week.
Oh, dear. Makes me out a sort of female Casanova.
Marion,
what's the matter, Bunny? You seem under a strain today.
Oh, can't you manage a little privacy for your sitters at least? It's like being watched while you're taking a bath.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Quite sympathize with Mr. Nolan. I'm off, Marion. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye, Mr. Nolan.
No, don't touch him.
Excuse. Most happy, Mr. Nolan. See you later.
Now then, move your head just a bit, Bunny. Just up a little.
I can't sit today. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, just because of Friday being here. Oh, he shouldn't be that way about it. He's the darling of the world.
Who isn't a darling? Everyone's a darling as far as I can see. The world's full of darlings. Your world, at any rate. Friday and Dickie and Timmy.
And you, Bunny dear.
I've asked you not to call me that in front of people. What if it were to get back to the voters in Tennessee?
Timothy Wilson is called Timothy in all the columns, and now he's a big movie star. Oh, Bunny.
What?
I just remember why I nicknamed him Timothy.
No, I don't see.
For tympanum, a large instrument, the orchestra producing a hollow sound. Boom. I'd better not mention it in my biography.
That confounded biography. Are you really writing?
Well, yes, I am.
Oh. What do you intend to tell?
Oh, that's like asking me what I've been doing all my life.
When does it start?
With my birth. Coincidence, isn't it?
All the time back home when you were a girl in Knoxville?
Yes, of course. Oh, I've had a wonderful time going back over it all.
Everything?
Everything I can remember.
Do I come into it?
First love, Bunny. How can I possibly leave that out?
If you're doing this for money, I know you've been pretty hard up. I promise I'll get you commissions enough to more than make up for what you'll get out of this story. I was talking about you the other day to Orrin.
Orrin?
Orrin Kennicott, Slade's father. My prospective father-in-law. He's a big man, you know. I'm sure I can get him to sit for you.
Sorry, the tip isn't big enough.
Oh, Marion.
It amuses me to write my life. I will therefore pass up the pleasure of painting your father-in-law. I will even give up the pleasure of painting you. We can part friends then, can't we? Goodbye, Bunny.
Marion, you can't send me away like this.
I think it's better to part now while we can still do it with dignity.
You don't realize what's involved.
Oh.
My entire career, Marion.
Mm.
A revelation of this kind coming at this moment might be fatal to my chances.
Revelation? You make me feel like... Well, I don't know what you make me feel like.
You don't understand. The people I'm depending on to elect me aren't sophisticated people like you or me.
Oh.
What I mean is, they're country people, essentially. My future father-in-law is sympathetic to their point of view.
Tell me, your father-in-law, is he the man with the chest expansion and his picture in shorts in the Health magazine?
Well, there's no disgrace in that.
Oh, that doesn't shock me, Bunny. I was just identifying him, that's all.
I owe everything to Kennicott. I wouldn't be running for the Senate right now if it weren't for him. I can't risk offending him.
Oh, what in heaven's name has happened to you anyway? He used to be quite a nice boy, even his son occasionally.
Maybe you stuck to me.
Oh, Bunny, I'm sorry for you. I really am.
Don't touch me.
Bunny.
You think I'm not human?
Of all the contradictory.
I wish I'd never come back into your life. It was a terrible mistake. You'd forgotten me.
Oh, you're wrong. First love. One doesn't forget that.
But you did. And if you got the chance, you'd humiliate me again.
Oh, it's not a question of pride or vanity between us. We're friends, old friends.
You're saying that just to get around me. You were always good at that. But I warn you, Marion, I solemnly warn
Never
you.
Never in my life have I seen a man vacillate so between passion and threat.
I shall find ways to stop you. Mr. Kennicott, my future father-in-law, is a very powerful man.
I know. Extraordinary bicep.
I tell you, this matter is beyond flippancy.
Yes, I can see that now.
Think it over, Marion. Let me know your decision.
Yes, I'll think it over. I'll give you my answer tomorrow.
Is how you could ever have loved a stuffed shirt like that.
Oh, he wasn't a stuffed shirt. That's a funny part. He was a charming boy. Rather thin, rather reticent. He used to work hard all day, and at night he studied law. We used to walk the country lanes and dream about the future. He was scared and whispered.
And how could he...
Oh, how do we all emerge into what we are? Time, Dickie. What will you be at 40? A bondholder and a commuter. Oh, Dickie.
I'll never be 40.
How will you avoid it?
I'll use myself up before I'm 40.
I don't think so. I sometimes wake up on certain mornings feeling absolutely immortal, indestructible. One is perpetually reborn, I think, Dickie.
It's easy for anyone who's lived as you have to make romantic generalizations.
You despise me, don't you?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, why did we start this?
All because of my little biography. That's how it all started. It seems incredible that anyone should take the trouble.
I'd like to see them try. I would just like to, that's all.
What would you do?
I would make the Honorable Nolan the laughingstock of the country. And his athletic father-in-law, too. I would just plaster them, that's what I'd do.
You sound vindictive.
Maybe I am vindictive.
Funny, I'm just amused. I'd better get that. It's late. Hello.
May I speak to Mr. Kurt, please?
It's for you, Dickie.
Who is it?
Oh, no. Sounds important.
Yes?
Kurt, this is McNally. I wanted to be sure and catch you tonight.
Oh, what's up, Chief?
This biography of Fraud. I want to talk to you about it.
Oh, you do you?
Yes. I think we'd better kill it.
I expected that.
Have you talked to Kennicott?
I never met the gentleman.
You will. But don't commit yourself one way or the other till you talk to me.
Okay, I'll be around first thing in the morning. So long.
Sorry, Kurt.
Well, they have begun.
Dickie.
Yeah?
As far as my story is concerned, I'll call it a day.
What?
Well, let's forget all about it, shall we?
Oh, if you let me down now, I'll hate you.
Will you? Why don't you take me into your confidence, then? Why don't you tell me about yourself?
For instance?
Well, I don't know anything about you, really. Who do you live with?
I live alone.
Are you in love with anyone?
No.
Where are your parents?
They're dead.
Long?
Well, my mother is. Hardly remember.
Your father? Do you remember your father?
Yeah. I remember him, all right.
What did your father do?
Was a coal miner.
Won't you tell me about him? I'd like to know.
I was a kid of 14. There was a strike. One day my father took me out for a walk. Sunny spring morning. We stopped to listen to an organizer. Father was a mild little man with kind of faded, tired blue eyes. We stood on the outskirts of the crowd. My father was holding me by the hand. All of a sudden, some shots rang out and everybody scattered. My father was bewildered. He didn't know which way to turn. A second later, he crumpled down beside me. He was bleeding. Still holding my hand. He died like that. Any other glamorous facts of my existence you would like to know?
Poor boy. I knew there was something I knew.
Oh, it's trivial, really. Everybody has to die. The point is to have fun while you're alive, isn't it? Well, you've managed. I congratulate you.
Dickie, darling, why are you so bitter against me? Why against me?
You want to know that, too? Well, that's because...
Hush, darling. Hush. Don't say anymore. Nothing anymore.
Oh, Mary, my angel.
Oh, Dickie, I have been afraid to love
o'clock, Leander, and still no sign of her. Does she know I'm a busy man?
He's not impressed by busy men, Norris.
Leander, have you been entirely frank with me in this matter?
Of course I have.
Sometimes the way you talk, I suspect, Leander, that you're still in love with this woman.
Well, nonsense. I simply tell you that she's not a fly-by-night character. That doesn't mean I'm in love with her.
My daughter feels the same thing. Slade? You discussed this with Slade?
Yesterday.
Told her it happened 15 years ago that you were a young fella, didn't know anything about women, were just naturally taken in.
That's not true. I was not taken in. The point is, what are we going to do?
Of course, I can get that young fella, Kurt, fired from his magazine job. But from what you told me, Leander, he's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
That's what I want to find out from your lady friend. And I've got a pretty sure idea right now what it is. Money, Leander.
Money?
Blackmail.
Oh, you're crazy.
When you know as much about women as I do, you'll know they all have blackmail up their sleeve.
Now, look here, Orin.
You listen to me, son.
Someone at the door.
You are mighty successful as a lawyer, I acknowledge. But in politics, you... Where is that maid, anyhow?
She's a little deaf. Maybe I better answer.
Hello, Leander.
Leave.
What are you two looking so foolish about? Hello, Dad.
Daughter, what are you doing here?
Came to have my picture painted. What are you?
You coming here at this time is most inopportune, Slade. We're here on business.
I can imagine.
I'm very glad you came, Slade. I want you to meet the woman your father has just been accusing of the most reprehensible crime.
I'm pretty anxious to get a load of her myself. Say, nice layout. I wish I were artistic. A lucky gal, a paintbrush and an easel, and she can set up shop anywhere in the world. That's independence for you.
Slade, this is no time. Please leave before she comes.
Not I. Can't you understand that? I want to find out what Leander was like before he became ambitious.
Slade.
This story might hurt you with the voters in Tennessee, Leander. It's given me a kick out of you I didn't know was there.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
If your interest in me requires the artificial stimulus of an episode that happened 20 years ago...
It certainly requires something.
Does it?
Now, children.
We are not children. And if it's as bad as that, then I think perhaps we'd both better...
Call it a day? Father, Leander's giving your daughter the air. Do something.
I don't blame him for being irritated. You should not be here. Please go home.
In a moment. Are we no longer engaged, Leander?
That is not for me to say.
Gentlemen, to the last. At the very moment...
Slade, you're talking too much. Shut up.
Just at the very moment when I was saying to myself, well, this a brilliant and beautiful woman who's played footy with royalty in the capitals of the world loved him. Maybe there's a secret charm in him that I've overlooked. Just when I was... Ah, must be my rival.
Good evening, Mr. Curtin.
Well, gentlemen, I'd honestly say I'm surprised to see you here.
Mr. Gerd, allow me to introduce...
I can guess who it is and why you're here.
Having failed to intimidate me, you're here to intimidate Miss Froud. Well, I can advise you that you will fail with her, too.
Why doesn't somebody introduce me to this interesting young man?
He may be interesting, but he's a very foolish young man.
You will fail because I'm going to publish Miss Froud's book myself. And I promise you it'll be the best advertised first book that's come out in a long time.
Good. Will you send me the advance sheets? I'll make it with you well, Mr. Kurtz.
Have you inquired into the penalties for libel, Mr. Kurtz?
Sue your heads off. I promise the two of you I'll give you the fight of your lives.
Good for you, Mr. Kurtz. Well, how nice. I'm sorry I'm
late. Marion, this chivalrous gentleman has just been proposing to sue you for libel.
Give me a chance to greet my guest, Vicky. I'm Slade Kennicott, Miss Brown. Oh, how nice of you to come. Is this Mr. Kennicott?
A pleasure, ma'am.
It seems so strange to see you with all your clothes on, Mr. Kennicott. What a pity. As an artist, I must say, it seems a pity to conceal that wonderful chest development that I've admired so often in the body beautiful.
That's neither here nor there.
Seems to me to be decidedly there.
Slade, you've upset everything by coming here.
Oh, no, it's my fault. I've wandered from the subject, I'm afraid. What was it?
A libel suit.
Oh, yes. Now, what can it be about?
Well, the Honorable Nolan is going to sue you for libel.
I'll punch your head if you say that again.
On the assumption that when you say in your story that you and he were lovers, you're lying and defaming his character.
Oh, dear, Bunny. He must want to be a senator very, very badly.
I never said it, I tell you. It wasn't my idea.
As a matter of fact, how could I prove it? Did you ever write to me, Bunny?
I don't remember.
Why is it that the things one writes when one is young seem so foolish afterwards? Has that ever occurred to you, Mr. Kennicott?
I don't admit the fact.
No?
I was looking over some old editorials of mine, and they're just as apropos today as when they were written. I haven't changed my ideas in 25 years.
Oh, how very steadfast. Now, if the world were equally changed, how consistent that would make you.
As I said before, this is getting us nowhere. Don't you think, Miss Froud, that the only way we can settle this is by ourselves? I can see you're a sensible woman.
You don't have to talk to him at all if you don't want to, Marion.
Oh, but I'd love to. I've always wanted to meet Mr. Kennicott. You can all wait in my bedroom. It's fairly tidy, I think. Oh, why don't you take me for a walk, Dickie? Oh, do that, Dickie. A walk will do you good.
All right, come on.
Now, Mr. Kennicott.
You won't mind if I speak very frankly to you, Miss Froud?
Not at all.
Well, Miss Froud...
Oh, call me Marion. Everybody does.
Thanks. Call me Orin.
All right, I'll try. Orin fits you. Strong, rugged, strength.
Thank you. I was going to say, you're not at all what I expected to meet, Marion.
Tell me about it. I'd love to know.
Well, you're kind of homey, you know, folksy.
Well, I'm just a small town girl from Tennessee. I sometimes wonder with myself how I ever got so far away.
Metabolism.
Let's take your pardon.
I always say take most of the bad men and most of the loose women and correct their metabolism and you correct them.
Oh, that's very interesting. Have you ever written anything about that?
I'm considering it right now.
Oh, I do wish you would. I get so impatient with myself sometimes with my physical limitations. My mind is seething with ideas, but I haven't the physical energy to go on working. Why is that, Mr. Kennicott?
Defective metabolism. tell me.
What?
Do you eat enough rubbish?
I don't know offhand. As I say, Orin, one is so ignorant of these fundamental things.
I can see this, Marion. If you'd met me instead of Leander when you were a young girl, you'd have been a different woman.
I'm sure I would.
It's not too late.
Really?
What are you doing tomorrow evening?
Why, I'm free.
Will you have dinner with me?
I'd be delighted.
Fine. Then we can go over this little matter quietly and make a friendly adjustment.
Oh, my son.
Oh, here's my card with the address. Apartment. I'm a widower.
An irresistible combination.
Till tomorrow, then, dear lady.
Till tomorrow.
talking about?
Oh, Mr. Kennicott, he's the greatest man I ever met in my life.
These people insult you and flout you in every way. You're amused. Always amused.
I am amused.
Temporizing with those... I don't understand.
Oh, of course you don't. That's the difference. One of the differences between 25 and 35.
What did you tell Kennicott?
Nothing. Simply nothing. He gave me health hints.
Health hints?
I saw no point in having a scene with him. As a matter of fact, Dickie, why do you insist on forcing through this silly little biography of mine? Wouldn't it be better for all concerned to just give it up?
You would give it up?
Why not?
After all this? After all I've... Oh, yes. Of course. Then you could marry Nolan, live happily forever after, and be amused. Goodbye. And this time I mean it.
Oh, Dickie, please. Dickie. Oh, poor Dickie. Poor boy.
Hello, Marion.
Oh, hello, Bundy.
Excuse me for rushing in on you like this.
Oh, I've been expecting you.
I must have known. I must have felt it. What would happen, Marion?
Bundy, dear, you're all worked up.
Marion, I've done it.
Done what?
Broken with Slade. Broken with Kinnick. I've broken with all of them.
Oh, Bunny.
When Olin told me what you'd done, that you were going to give up the story,
he said
he was sure he could get you to do it. It all came over me. Your generosity, your wonderful generosity.
Oh, Bunny.
I saw then that all this, what I'd been telling myself I wanted, Slade, a senatorship, all of it, that I didn't want it, that I wasn't up to it, that I was scared to death of it. I told Slade.
You told her?
Yes.
What did she say?
She said she knew it. Oh, she's clever, that girl. She's cleverer than I am. Even cleverer than you. I'm afraid of her cleverness. I'm uncomfortable with it. It's you I love, Marion. I mean, I want to marry you.
I'm terribly touched by this, Bunny, darling. But I can't marry you.
Why not?
Well, if I married you, it would be for all the wrong reasons. Besides, I think you're wrong about Slade. She's very nice, you know. It's her manner that shocks you. And if you really understand me, as I think you do, I'd really shock you a great deal more, Bunny.
I'd risk it. Marion, my dearest Marion, won't you give me some hope?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bunny, but you see, I'm in love.
You?
I'm in love with Dickie.
You. Anybody else but him. I'm sorry. Funny, isn't it? Joke, isn't it?
Oh, I'm terribly fond of you, Bunny. I always will be. That kind of tenderness outlasts many things.
Oh, I'll go on, I suppose.
Oh, of course you will. Goodbye, Bunny, dear.
Goodbye, Marion.
Oh, Bunny.
Yes?
Will you please tell Mr. Kennicott for me that I've been called out of town suddenly and I can't dine with him tomorrow. You will be seeing him, won't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll be seeing you.
Dickie.
Please forgive me, Mary. Please.
Oh, come in, Dickie. Yeah, sit here beside me, dear.
Moods come over me, and I can't control myself. Because I love you so much, I can't bear...
No, dear, I know.
I'm torn up all the time, torn to bits.
I know, dear, I know.
If we could only go away together, the two of us. Somewhere away from people. By ourselves.
Why not, Dick? You can go now if you want.
Oh, that's a crazy dream. How can we possibly leave now with the book?
Dickie... I must tell you.
What?
You must be patient and you must try to understand my point of view.
What do you mean?
I've destroyed the book, Dickie.
Destroyed?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry, but I couldn't possibly have published that book.
Why? Why?
These people, Dickie. Poor Bunny. That ridiculous old Kinkot. To you, these rather ineffectual, blundering people symbolize the forces that have hurt you, and you hate them. But I don't hate them. I can't hate them.
I see now why everything is this way. Why the injustice and the cruelty go on year after year, century after century without change. Because as they become older, people become tolerant. Things amuse them. Oh, I hate you, and I hate your tolerance. I always did.
I know you do. You hate my essential quality, the thing that is me. That's what I was thinking just now, and that's what makes me so sad.
Nothing more to be said, is there?
I suppose not. Won't you kiss me goodbye?
Marion.
I'd try to change you. I know I would, though, Dickie. And if I changed you, I'd destroy what makes me love you.
Marion.
Goodbye, my darling. Goodbye, my...
Marion?
Yes, ma'am.
I think maybe that telegram bring you bad news.
Telegram? What telegram?
That telegram I put on your table here.
But I didn't even... Where is it?
Here it is. Bad news?
This is from heaven. Minnie, I want you to pack right away. We're leaving.
Leaving? Then,
right away tonight. This is from Friday. Listen. Can get you commissioned to paint Academy Award winners Hollywood. Wire answer at once. Oh, pack everything, Minnie. I want to get right away.
Don't you think we'd better wait till tomorrow?
Oh, no, Minnie. Once the temptation to a journey comes into my head, I can't bear it till I'm on my way. This time we'll have a real trip, Minnie. From Hollywood we'll go to Honolulu, and from there to Siam. Oh, how would you like that, Minnie?
Fine. That crazy Kurt. He goes with us?
Oh, no, Minnie, no one. We travel alone.
Been listening to the NBC Star Playhouse production of Biography starring Joan Fontaine. And now John Chapman returns with a word about next week's production.
And so Marion goes on, floating life like a dancer's scarf. I often wonder what might have happened to her next, but Sam Barabin has never got around to telling us. Thank you, Miss Fontaine, and our West Coast Acting Company. Next week, our play will come from New York, and I think it should be one of the most interesting and most exciting productions we have attempted. It will be Lost Weekend, adapted from Charles Jackson's hard-hitting novel and from the exceptional motion picture which Paramount made from the book. The star of Lost Weekend will be Glenn Ford. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Biography was transcribed and adapted for radio by Robert Tallman and starring Joan Fontaine. Heard in the cast was Kurt, played by Larry Dobkin, Minnie, Virginia Christine, Night Actress Fritz Feld, Nolan Marvin Miller, Chief Ted Van Elk, Kennicott Stanley Farrar, and Slade Georgia Ellis. Musical score written and conducted by Robert R. Brewster. The NBC Star Playhouse is a production of the NBC Radio Network in association with Gail Adams, supervised by William Welch, directed by Andrew C. Love. Jimmy Wallington speaking. Tonight, here, Meet the Press with guest Leonard Hall on the NBC Radio Network.